Yvonne d'Origny kissed her son and told him to be good. "You know, your grandmother d'Origny is not very fond of children. Now that she has sent for you to come and see her, you must show her what a sensible little boy you are." And turning to the governess, "Don't forget, Fräulein, to bring him home immediately after dinner. Is Monsieur still in the house?"
"Yes, madame, Monsieur le Comte is in his study."
As soon as she was gone, Yvonne d'Origny walked to the window to catch a glimpse of her son as he left the house. He was out in the street in a moment, raised his head and blew her a kiss, as was his custom every day. Then the governess took his hand with, as Yvonne remarked to her surprise, a movement of unusual violence. Yvonne leant further out of the window, and when the boy reached the corner of the boulevard, she suddenly saw a man step out of a motor car and go up to him. The man, in whom she recognized Bernard, her husband's confidential servant, took the child by the arm, made both him and the governess get into the car, and ordered the chauffeur to drive off. The whole incident did not take 10 seconds. Yvonne, in her trepidation, ran to her bedroom, seized a wrap, and went to the door. The door was locked, and there was no key in the lock. She hurried back to the boudoir. The door of the boudoir also was locked. Then suddenly, the image of her husband appeared before her. That gloomy face, which no smile ever lit up. Those pitiless eyes, in which for years she had felt so much hatred and malice.
"It's he. It's he," she said to herself. "He has taken the child. Oh, it's horrible."
She beat against the door with her fists, with her feet, then flew to the mantelpiece and pressed the bell fiercely. The shrill sound rang through the house from top to bottom. The servants would be sure to come. Perhaps a crowd would gather in the street, and impelled by a sort of despairing hope, she kept her finger on the button. A key turned in the lock. The door was flung wide open. The Count appeared on the threshold of the boudoir, and the expression of his face was so terrible that Yvonne began to tremble. He entered the room. 5 or 6 steps separated him from her. With a supreme effort, she tried to stir, but all movement was impossible. And when she attempted to speak, she could only flutter her lips and emit incoherent sounds. She felt herself lost. The thought of death unhinged her. Her knees gave way beneath her, and she sank into a huddled heap with a moan. The Count rushed at her and seized her by the throat.
"Hold your tongue. Don't call out," he said in a low voice. "That will be best for you."
Seeing that she was not attempting to defend herself, he loosened his hold of her and took from his pocket some strips of canvas, ready rolled and of different lengths. In a few minutes, Yvonne was lying on a sofa, with her wrists and ankles bound and her arms fastened close to her body. It was now dark in the boudoir. The Count switched on the electric light and went to a little writing desk where Yvonne was accustomed to keep her letters. Not succeeding in opening it, he picked the lock with a bent wire, emptied the drawers, and collected all the contents into a bundle, which he carried off in a cardboard file.
"Waste of time, eh?" he grinned. "Nothing but bills and letters of no importance. No proof against you. Ha! I'll keep my son for all that, and I swear before heaven that I will not let him go."
As he was leaving the room, he was joined near the door.